From lengthening mascara to smoky eyes, complete your fall look with Thrive Cosmetics. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy. Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Hey, welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole, and I am just thrilled to be in conversation with you again. Today, we're going to be leaning into something that is hard to hold on to these days. As a matter of fact, it seems harder to hold on to these days than ever before. It's joy. It's optimism. It's hope. See, let's be honest, the world, it feels really heavy right now because of all the things that are happening, like the rising cost of living, the mental health struggles, political and social division. There's grief and violence and uncertainty. There are many reasons why people are giving up, not just on their goals, but giving up on their life. So this is a pretty important conversation given the times that we're in. But here's the truth. You don't have to wait for life to get easier before it feels better. I know. You don't have to wait for the perfect circumstances to choose joy. Yeah. See, joy is not something that just shows up when everything feels right or everything is finally right. Like it's not something that you have to earn. It's not a reward for surviving struggle. No. Joy is a decision. It's a practice. It's a way of showing up in the world. And that's what today's episode is about. That's what today's conversation is about. It's about how joy is connected to optimism and hope and why joy is not conditional and then how choosing joy, especially in difficult seasons, is actually one of the most radical things we can do. Oh, yeah. This is going to be amazing, this conversation. So we're using this book, I Love It When You Smile, by Sam McBratney. I think I'm saying it right. Sam McBratney. And let me tell you, it's a simple story on the surface. But inside, you're going to be finding how to get back to joy, how to find your way back to joy, especially when you don't feel like it, especially if you don't feel like it. So if that's you right now, like if you're looking at your life and it feels heavy, if you're struggling to find your smile, I want you to know that this conversation is for you. So let's get into it. I love it when you smile. All right. So, had to make sure their cell phone didn't ring. It was a lovely summer morning, but Rue was feeling grumpy, and he didn't know why. He was feeling so grumpy that he didn't even want to play. "What's wrong with you this morning?" asked his mother.
"Nothing," said Roo.
"You should smile," his mother said. Everybody feels better when they smile. But little Roo wasn't in a smiling mood today, not even when his mother tickled him gently.
"Did I see a tiny smile?" she asked. "Just one?"
"No," said Roo, "you didn't." His mom reached out and flipped him head over heels. It was the kind of game that little kangaroos loved to play. But it wouldn't work this grumpy morning. No, little Roo did not smile. Not even a teeny weeny bit. His mother skipped into a hollow tree where they liked to play. She popped her head out through the hole in the trunk. "Smile!"
"I still don't want to," said little Roo.
"Oh, dear," his mother said. So she gathered up some dry leaves, tossed them into the air, and all the leaves came down on little Roo. He looked so funny. "I think I can see a smile this time," his mother said, and laughed. "Just a little one?"
"You don't," said Roo. "I'm not smiling."
"Oh, well," his mother said with a sigh. It was time for breakfast. Little Roo's mom lifted him up. "Let's go down the hill together and find something to eat."
"I'm not hungry," said Roo grumpily.
"But I'm hungry," said his mother. "Come on." "Hold on tight." And off they went. She put little Roo in her pouch. Halfway down the hill, there was a hole. It wasn't a deep hole, but it was a wide hole and a muddy at the bottom hole. "Look out," cried Roo. But his mom was doing silly hops from side to side instead of looking where she was going. And
I know you anticipate what's happening. I know you do.
Slippity, slippity, slide and slop right into the hole. What a mess. What a mess. Roo himself was muddy all over. Then he looked at his mother, who was soaking wet and slimy from the tops of her ears to the tips of her toes. And little Roo couldn't do anything else. He just had to smile. I love it when you smile. The end. Oh my gosh, I just want to show you the picture. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Oh, see, at the beginning of the story, right? Roo is in a mood. I mean, he is in a mood. Like, nothing feels right. Nothing feels easy. He's frustrated. He's annoyed. He's not interested in the fun that mom's trying to have. Does that sound familiar to you? Like, do you know some folk that sometimes when they wake up, and maybe it's you, you wake up and you just don't feel like it. Like, not like being joyful, not like you don't want to be engaged. You don't feel like moving forward. But through their day, jumping in the grass and sliding down the hills and getting mud and even falling, Something shifts. See, joy doesn't just show up because life gets easier. Joy shows up because they stay connected and because we stay connected. This is how joy shows up. And see, joy, it sneaks in when we let life move again. See, sometimes we wake up, we're in that mood, and we just get stubborn and stuck. But if we let joy in, it moves us. It moves us. And at the end of the story, right, Roo is laughing. It's a real laugh. It's a real honest laugh. Like, and mom, she smiles and says, I love it when you smile. Ugh. Not I love it when you're good. Not I love it when you're right. I love it just simply because you're smiling. Oh, there's something about seeing someone else smile that does something to us. It moves something in us. And I want to tell you, like, a lot of us are waiting for joy to find us. Like it's something that happens when life finally feels manageable. Or maybe it's something that we're just waiting for. Like, what if joy is something that we don't wait for to come to us, but something we move towards? What if joy shows up while we're still falling and slipping and still trying to figure it out? What if joy comes then? Just like Rue, we don't have to be in the perfect mood to rediscover joy. See, sometimes it sneaks up on us in the middle of the mess. Yeah, joy can sneak up on us in the middle of the mess, right? And sometimes it's the people who love us through the mess, like those who stay connected to us, even when we're distant and moody and they help lead us back to joy. We need a circle of people. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot. Sometimes it's just one person. But let's talk about this right here. Joy is a decision. Joy, it's a decision, right? And, I mean, we've been told that joy is an emotion, and like happiness or excitement or even satisfaction, right? But I think we've misunderstood it. I think we've misunderstood joy, because here's the thing about emotions. Emotions are dependent. They're dependent on how people treat us. They're dependent on whether or not we slept well last night. They're dependent on the news, whether it's good news or bad news or heavy news or confusing news or news. Like emotions, they're dependent on whether or not we feel accepted or rejected. They're so dependent. Emotions, they rise and they fall with whatever's happening in our lives. They're momentary. They're like the weather. They shift and move. Let me tell you this. When we treat joy like an emotion, we will always be at the mercy of our circumstances. And if we only feel joy when things are going well, then what happens when life isn't going well? Like, what happens when life isn't going well? Like, what happens when I'm in the middle of a season where nothing seems to be going right? Like, when I'm trying to navigate grief or disappointment or when a setback happens, like, what happens then? Do I just lose access to joy? There are so many of us that are just stuck because joy seems elusive. If joy is just a feeling, then the hard seasons of our life get to steal it from us. But here's what I want you to tell, what I want to tell you though. Joy, it isn't a feeling. Joy is a decision. It's a posture. It's a lens through which we see. It's the way we choose to show up. This is joy. Joy. When we see joy as a decision, we stop waiting for life to be perfect before we give ourselves permission to feel better.
When joy is a decision, we stop letting circumstances become the gatekeepers to our peace. Yes, like, oh my gosh. Oh, and we also stop outsourcing our motivation to what's happening around us. When we don't see joy as a decision, when we don't see it as a decision, we lose momentum. We stop moving forward because we're waiting for the feel-good moments, for the things around us to help us to feel better before we move. Joy isn't a reaction. Joy is a rhythm. It's how I walk through life. It's not just how I react to life. And if you know anybody who knows me, they will tell you that I live in the rhythm of joy.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Doesn't matter what's happening, I will find the good in all the things because I refuse to let my circumstances be the gatekeepers to my joy. Here's a question I want to ask. Like, where have you been waiting for joy instead of deciding to choose it? Where have you just been waiting for it to come to you? Like, and then we get resentful, right? Because then we see other people with joy and we feel like, wow, how come they could get it, but I can't? Because they're choosing it. So if joy is a decision, then what we also know is this. If it's something I can choose, then there's a part that we play in it. Like joy is not conditional. It's one thing to say, okay, I'll choose joy, right? Because sometimes people just get like, okay, fine, Dante, I'll choose joy. But if I believe that joy is still waiting on circumstances to get better, If I believe that, then I still hold on to life circumstances, waiting for them to be different before I choose it. And really, when I do that, I'm really not choosing joy. I'm really just rescheduling it for another time. Joy isn't just a decision. It's a decision that you're allowed to make right now. You don't have to wait till later to get to joy. Like, joy is not conditional. I mean, see, when something is conditional, it's dependent. And think about it. Like, conditional love means, like, I'll love you if you do what I like. I'll love you if you do what I want you to do. I'll love you when you make me happy, or I'll love you when you get it right. Conditional joy has the same kind of feeling. It's like, I'll feel joy when things calm down. When things settle, then I'll feel joy. Or I'll feel joy when my problems go away. Or I'll feel joy after I hit this goal, after I accomplish this thing, then I'll feel joy. But here's the problem. What happens when life doesn't calm down?
What happens when the problems keep coming? What happens when the goal moves and shifts? If joy is conditional, then you might never get to feel it. Okay. Joy is not conditional. It's not conditional. It doesn't require life to get easier. It doesn't require people to get better. It doesn't even require your circumstances to cooperate. Joy is available even here, wherever you are in your life. Joy is available even now. Let's go back to the story for a moment, right? Rue's mom loved Rue when he wasn't smiling. See, she was modeling joy. She loved him when he was frustrated. She loved him when he was resistant. She loved him when it wasn't conditional, because her joy with being with him and loving him was not conditional. Oh, see, it wasn't, "I love you when you smile." It was, "I love it when you smile. I love it when you smile." Not, "I love you when you smile." "I love it when you smile. I love to see you in the place of joy." Her joy was steady no matter what. Her love for him was steady no matter what. And this is how joy really works. It's not something that you unlock by performing better. No. It's not something you access by choosing to see things the way you've always seen them, but it's something you access by choosing to see them differently. It's not about what's happening around me. It's about what's happening in me. Joy starts in here, not out there. And when you realize that joy isn't conditional, you free yourself. See, sometimes when I'm not choosing joy, I become a prisoner. I become held hostage to my frustrations. I become held hostage to my mood. When you realize that joy is not conditional and that it's a choice, then you free yourself from the pressure of waiting for it to come. And you even lift yourself from the weight of having things perfectly. Or you free yourself from measuring your worth by your mood. You do realize that your worth is not tied to how you feel. It's not waiting for you to earn it. It's not waiting for you to for any of that. It's waiting for you to just embrace it. Where have you made joy conditional in your life? Like this is a great time to just reflect on, like, where have you told yourself that something must happen in order for you to feel good? Okay, let's talk about the science of it. You know, I did some research here because I was like, there's got to be a science to this whole issue of joy and hope and optimism. Like, what is this? What is it, right? These aren't just nice ideas, y'all. These are physiological. They are physiologically good for you. Okay, let me share with you. All right, here, your brain and your body and your emotional system are wired to respond when you practice joy and optimism and hope. Here's what we know. First thing I want you to know is that joy changes your brain. Here's what it says. When you choose joy, you practice gratitude, or when you laugh, or when you find wonder, your brain releases chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. And these are feel-good neurotransmitters that literally help your brain build brand new pathways. Y'all, joy, hope, and optimism help you recover from stress. They improve your ability to focus, and they strengthen your resilience. Research shows that joy is not just something you feel. It's something that physically changes your brain's capacity to adapt.
Oh my gosh.
You are helping your brain build the capacity to adapt when you choose joy, when you decide to choose joy and hope and optimism. Oh, here's the other thing. Joy also regulates your nervous system. There's a part of your brain called the vagus nerve, and it's like your emotional reset button. And when you experience joy, real connected joy, you stimulate this nerve. And what does that do? It slows down your heart rate, it lowers your stress hormones, and it opens your body up for connection and calm. Mm-hmm. Scientists call this phenomena, it calls it the vagal tone, and it's directly connected to emotional resilience. People with stronger vagal tone, it says, recover from stress faster and they handle life's ups and downs with more flexibility. Y'all, joy isn't an emotion, it's regulation. It keeps your body steady. Okay. Yeah, just a couple more here. Optimism. It builds mental flexibility. Now, you already know, if you have even seen my book, read my book, you already know I talk about this whole issue of mental flexibility. But I want to continue by giving you the science behind it, because optimism is not ignoring reality. It's not pretending like everything's fine. See, that's how we've misunderstood optimism. We think that if somebody's optimistic, they're just ignoring that things are happening. No. They're saying, in spite of what's happening, I am making a decision to expect good. Even when I can't see fully yet, I am expecting good. Here's what's amazing. You ready? Researchers like Barbara Fredrickson tell us that when we lean into optimism, our brain literally widens. You become more creative, you are open to more solutions, and you stop getting stuck in the problem and start finding possibilities. Optimism helps you think bigger. All right, here's the last one. Hope. Hope is an anchor. So joy, right? We said joy regulates your nervous system. Optimism builds your mental flexibility. And hope is the anchor. Hope, it's more than just positive thinking. Hope is what keeps us from shutting down when things get difficult. See, hope, it stops us from giving up. Even clinical studies now show that people who nurture hope have better mental health outcomes, stronger immune systems, and longer recovery windows. See, hope doesn't require certainty. I don't need to know what the end is going to be. Hope requires that you believe something better is still possible. Life is at work trying to steal this from you, trying to take this from you. How many hopeless people do we run upon where they just don't believe that better is still possible? I'm telling you, better is always possible. So joy helps me stay present. It helps me stay in the here and now. Optimism helps me to see and move forward, and hope, it helps me to hold on. That's why you need all three. I need joy so that I can stay and enjoy the present moment. I need optimism so I can keep moving forward. And I need the anchor of hope to help me to hold on. And the good news is, you don't have to wait for any of them. You don't have to, they're not like afar off somewhere. They are right here. You can choose them right here, right now. You can choose them. Like, what's one small joy
that you can practice today? Like, what's one good thing that you can still expect? Like, don't pack it up and put it in the back of the closet and say, don't give up on that thing. What's that one thing you can still expect that's good? What's one hope that you can hold on to, even though you're living in a place and you're experiencing a season of uncertainty? Yeah. Choosing joy and optimism and hope is a radical act. See, we need to radicalize our hope and our joy and our optimism because of the increased amount of hopelessness in this world. We live in a world that celebrates cynicism. It does. It's critical, right? It makes being critical cool. Like being unimpressed is stylish, like whatever. Being distant is expected. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that joy is just naive. That hope is soft. Optimism is unrealistic. But listen to me. Joy is not a luxury. It's a necessity. Hope and optimism, they're not optional. They are a necessity. It's a resistance practice when we hold on to them, when we embrace them. I am resisting hopelessness. I am resisting giving up. I'm resisting just being in a mood. Joy is what refuses to let the heaviness of this world bury us. I will not be buried by the heaviness of this world. No, I refuse to surrender to despair. I will not make disappointment my identity. Joy is what dares us to say, I love it when you smile. Even here, I can smile. I can still smile, even though life be lifing. And choosing joy doesn't mean ignoring what's broken. It doesn't means that you got to pretend like everything is fine. It means I refuse to let brokenness become the only story I'm telling myself. Choosing joy is how we push back. It's how we resist hopelessness and bitterness and shutting down. It's how we just decide that I'm still here. Joy is saying, I'm still here. And when the news gives us reasons to shut down, and joy says, nah, they're still good. They're still good. See, when our story gives us every reason to be cynical, to give the joy says, nope, there's still a reason to get up tomorrow. Joy is not denying our pain. It is defying despair. Joy is a defiance of despair. I refuse to live in despair. It's a decision to keep living, y'all. You might know somebody who needs to hear this, that they keep living. Keep living. I'm thinking about my wife sometimes tells the boys when they're facing difficult times. She's like, listen, go to sleep and wake up tomorrow. It's a new day. Go to sleep. Wake up tomorrow. It's a new day. See, so sometimes we just need to go to sleep, get some rest, and get up so we can get a fresh perspective on the day, a fresh perspective on the problem, a fresh perspective on the season. You can keep moving forward, even here where you are right now. So let me give you some ways that you could nurture joy, some ways you could choose optimism and sustain hope in your life. Okay?
Three simple practices. You ready? Here's the first one. Every day, I want you to write down at least one thing that made you smile, laugh, or feel grateful. I just want you to write down one thing. I mean, it could be your cup of morning coffee, a song that you love that you heard on your stream or on the radio, if that's what you still listen to. It could be just a quiet moment. Like some days, I go outside and I just take a deep breath and I look up at the blue sky or the green grass, or I hear the birds chirping, and it just brings me joy. Like, oh, everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you why this is important. Because what we track, we strengthen. What we give our attention to grows. And so it's important for us, right, that we track our joy, because I want it to grow in my life. And so I call that the joy list. That's the joy list, all right? And here's the number two. The what's possible question is another practice. Like, when you feel stuck, ask yourself these questions. What's possible here? Not what's wrong, not getting stuck in what's not going right. No. Not what's broken. No. What's still possible? This is how you train your optimism. You begin to explore what is possible. Now, see, because if you just get stuck on what's not happening and what's not possible, you miss it. No. I'm going to start asking questions about what is possible. Here's the third one. Sometimes you need to borrow hope from someone else. See, when you feel low on hope, borrow it. Get with some folk who have hope. You ever notice that sometimes when I'm feeling a little down, if I just get around the right people, I start feeling better? If I get around some folk that are hopeful, they combat and they help me to resist hopelessness. Like a trusted friend, a therapist, a mentor, a podcaster. Just, I need to listen to somebody and get with somebody that's going to help me borrow hope. Like, what's something, right? And here's a question you could ask them. What's something you believe for me right now? You heard what I said. Sometimes people believe for us what we can't believe for ourselves. And we need them to keep believing for us. We need them to carry hope for us when hope seems impossible to find. Sometimes we can carry things by ourselves that we don't need to carry by ourselves. Hope is not something you carry alone. And that's okay. Because this lie that we have begun, have embraced, is that we've got to do it all ourselves. We can't depend on anybody else. I told you this before. I'm going to tell you again. It is a lie. It is a lie. We need each other. I need for you to have hope. I need for you to have joy. I need for you to be optimistic when I'm struggling with it. I need the people around me. I need my circle so that I can borrow from them. And so what's one joy that you've postponed? What's one thing that you can try this week to nurture your joy or your optimism or your hope? Where have you been outsourcing your peace to circumstances? You don't have to wait for life to get easier to feel better. You do not have to wait for life to get easier to feel better. You don't have to wait for people to change to feel joy. You don't have to wait for the perfect circumstances to practice hope. Joy is your decision. Optimism, it's direction. And hope is your anchor. I'll say it again. Joy is your decision. Optimism, it's your direction. And anchor, hope is your anchor. And guess what? You are exactly enough. Now, if you need help with this, just send me a message. Send me a message in my DM. Email me at dante@lifesculptors.org. Listen, buy the book, Developing a Durable Mind. I promise you it's going to help you find hope. It's going to help you find joy. It's going to help you find optimism to help nurture and grow it in your life. I'm just telling you. Share this with somebody who needs it. Like, subscribe, all the things. And keep doing the inside work. Until next time.